In 2011, the San Francisco Symphony celebrates its 100th season. Since 1925, the orchestra has been making recordings. I'm Scott Fogelsong, a contributing writer and pre-concert lecturer here at the Symphony. For some years now, I've been exploring the Symphony's long and distinguished history and recorded sound, a vast treasure of music preserved in commercial recordings, in radio broadcasts, and from the Symphony's own archives. I invite you to join me in these podcasts as I share some of my favorite moments drawn from 85 years of great recordings by the musicians of the San Francisco Symphony. On this podcast, Michael Tilson Thomas's ongoing tenure at the San Francisco Symphony, beginning in 1995 and continuing to a present when the symphony has taken its rightful place amongst the greatest orchestras of our time. MTT's first appearance with the San Francisco Symphony took place in 1974, when he was still near the beginning of his career. He conducted the Mozart G major piano concerto with John Browning as soloists and, in a wonderfully prophetic bit of programming, the Mahler Ninth Symphony. Happily, broadcast and archive recordings have preserved his San Francisco debut. Here's a bit from the Mahler's third movement, Rondo Burlesque. Before he arrived in San Francisco as music director in 1995, Michael Tilson Thomas had amassed a substantial discography with the orchestras in Boston, Chicago, London, Buffalo, Los Angeles, and Amsterdam, among others. Among his earlier recordings were albums from American composers Charles Ives, Carl Ruggles, Walter Piston, and especially George Gershwin. But his very first Boston album was a stellar rendition of the Tchaikovsky First Symphony, and his discography included composers as diverse as Richard Strauss, Beethoven, and Carl Orff. When MTT arrived at the San Francisco Symphony in 1995, he brought the orchestra back to its home recording label, RCA Red Seal, which in its earlier incarnation as the Victor Talking Machine Company had made the symphony's very first recording in January 1925 with Alfred Hertz conducting. The relationship had continued under Pierre Monteux until the early 1950s, then with Leopold Stokowski and Enrique Horda, finally ending in 1960 with Monteux guest conducting works by Richard Strauss and Wagner. The first fruit of the reborn collaboration was a jewel, MTT's selections from Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet ballet score. At the 1996 Grammy Awards, Herbert Blomstedt's Decca album of Bartók's Concerto for Orchestra and Kossuth won an engineering award, and MTT's Prokofiev album won the Best Orchestral Performance Award. And a best orchestral performance it is, too. Compassionate, warm, and thrilling, superbly recorded by RCA's master engineers. This is from the balcony scene. The RCA collaboration started out with a home run and continued to produce superb albums over the next few years. Among the highlights was a stunning 3-CD album of Stravinsky's The Firebird, Persephone, and one of the all-time finest renditions of The Rite of Spring on disc. Persephone was particularly fascinating given its blend of chorus, singers, speaker, and orchestra, joining to tell the myth of Persephone in Stravinsky's precise Apollonian neoclassicism. And The Rite of Spring blends gut-wrenching raw power with a level of technical sophistication that likely would have left Stravinsky utterly flabbergasted. It sure impressed the Grammy folks, who draped it with 3 awards for Best Classical Album, Best Engineered Album, and Best Orchestral Performance. MTT had enjoyed a reputation as a leading Gershwin interpreter since his early career days, and he brought that expertise to the San Francisco Symphony in a set of superlative Gershwin recordings. Unlike conductors whose musical experience doesn't stray far from the concert hall, Tilson Thomas understands Gershwin's jazz and theatrical background. His Gershwin recordings breathe plenty of fresh air into those familiar and well-loved works. In this 1998 recording of Gershwin's lesser-known Second Rhapsody for piano and orchestra, MTT imparts a propulsive urban energy to both orchestra and piano in his double role as conductor and soloist. A nifty Ives album mixed chamber, solo, and orchestral works. In 1998, the San Francisco Symphony made its 3rd recording of Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique. The first 2 had been under Pierre Monteux, one in 1945 on 78 RPM discs, then another on LP in 1950. Now, MTT and the Symphony would add a 3rd, and eventually a 4th, to the list. That 1998 Fantastique is a triumph, both musically and technically. Reviewer David Hurwitz praised it by saying that, quote, "Even in a crowded field, this recording easily withstands comparison to any of the great versions of the past, and it sounds better than any of them." I'm sure that Pierre Monteux would have been thrilled with it. Here's an excerpt from the last movement. A pair of Copland albums, one called Copland the Populist and the other Copland the Modernist, provided listeners with excellent performances in beautiful audio. For years, the reference recording of Copland's early piano concerto had been the composer's own with Bernstein on the podium. In 1996, MTT and Garrick Olson produced a reference performance for the digital age. Here's an excerpt from the second and last movement. The 1997 album of Mahler's Das Klagende Lied turned out to be the first installment of the symphony's superb Mahler series, eventually to encompass not only the symphonies, but also the major vocal works with orchestra. But Das Klagende Lied would be the only album in the series with an RCA imprint. After about 2000, the label ceased making new classical recordings, at least for a while. That's too bad, because the symphony's Mahler series just might have encouraged RCA to keep the flame burning a while longer. The album was eventually remastered by the symphony's in-house SFS Media label. But here's an extract of the first movement, Forest Tale, from the original RCA mastering, with baritone Sergei Leferkus. RCA Red Seal, the label of Jascha Heifetz, Artur Rubinstein, Vladimir Horowitz, Gregor Piatigorsky, Arturo Toscanini, Fritz Reiner, Leopold Stokowski, the Philadelphia Orchestra, NBC Symphony, the Boston Symphony, the Chicago Symphony. Now, the glory days were over. The San Francisco Symphony could have sought a relationship with another label, but the industry was imploding. So the symphony created its own in-house label, SFS Media, and began making its own albums from live performances, taking full advantage of the empowerments of modern technology. From 2001 until 2010, SFS Media recorded all of the Mahler symphonies together with the major vocal works, beautifully recorded and made available in double-layered discs that offered both standard CD and high-def super audio CD. These Mahler recordings are amongst the most successful discographic projects from a modern symphony orchestra. By the time the series was completed, it had racked up an impressive 7 Grammy Awards. The Mahler symphonies were not recorded in chronological order. Symphony No. 6 was first out of the gate, released in 2002. It established from the beginning that these would be elegant, warmly performed, and exquisitely well-recorded renditions. Consider the third movement Andante. The 2003 Grammy for Best Orchestral Performance confirmed what the recording itself makes abundantly clear. Symphonies 1 and 3 and a fine Kindertotenlieder with soprano Michelle DeYoung followed. The third symphony garnered yet another Grammy for Best Classical Album. The 2004 release of Symphony No. 4 with soprano Laura Claycomb was a series high point, even if it didn't win a Grammy. This is from the first movement. The 2004 album of the Second Symphony was graced by the presence of mezzo-soprano Lorraine Hunt Lieberson, whose early death from cancer robbed us of a luminous artist. Here she is at her finest in the haunting solo from the fourth movement. Thank you. 2005 saw the release of Symphonies 9 and 7, and two more Grammy Awards for Best Classical Album and Best Orchestral Performance, both for Symphony No. 7. For sheer orchestral virtuosity, the seventh's finale stands high in the SFS discography. In 2006, saw Symphony No. 5, joined with a remastering of the RCA Das Klagende Lied. Then, the SFS entered the home stretch. In 2008, MTT brought tenor Stuart Skelton and longtime SFS favorite Thomas Hampson to a superb recording of Das Lied von der Erde, Mahler's one-of-a-kind song cycle, quasi-symphony, quasi-tone poem. Here is Thomas Hampson in the movement Von der Schönheit, of beauty.
Zwischen Büschen und Blättern sitzen sie, sammeln Blüten in den Schoß und ruhen sich einander Neckereien zu.
Then, finally, Symphony No. 8. The Symphony of 1,000, as it is sometimes called. It took 3 seasons of live performances before MTT got the results he wanted, but the effort was worth it. 3 Grammys for Best Classical Album, Best Choral Performance, and Best Engineered Album resulted. This gigantic and potentially ungainly symphonic epic has never been better served. One last album remained, Songs with Orchestra, released in 2010 with mezzo-soprano Susan Graham and baritone Thomas Hampson. All in all, the Mahler project proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is discographic life after major labels. SFS Media also produced the wonderful Keeping Score DVDs, each devoted to a particular composer or body of music. MTT took viewers on a tour of the composer's life and surroundings, often with commentary from many people, including orchestra members. Each DVD includes a full performance of the work in question, and those performances have been made available on CD. SFS Media and the Symphony are releasing new recordings regularly. The albums from early 2011 have received well-deserved rave reviews. Henry Brandt's orchestration of Charles Ives's Concord Sonata adds another milestone to MTT's superb Ives discography. From the third movement, the Alkots. The Beethoven Fourth Piano Concerto, with Emmanuel Ax, is one of my all-time favorite San Francisco Symphony recordings. Here's an album that has everything. Luminous audio, gorgeous playing from all concerned, immaculate attention to Beethoven's long lyrical line, and that wonderful sense of immediacy that a live performance offers. This excerpt comes from the first movement, marked Allegro Moderato. But CDs are rapidly passing into obsolescence. Digital audio can be delivered via the internet, without a physical medium as go-between. In the early days of downloaded audio, the digital data was heavily compressed in order to make delivery over slow telephone line connections feasible. However, with today's broadband connections, digital audio can be delivered in full quality, or, in some cases, an even higher resolution than is possible on CD. The symphony could have moped about the CD's forthcoming demise. Instead, it plunged into the new world of downloading and has been offering SFS Media recordings online for some time now. Whether from the popular iTunes or the audiophile HD Tracks, you can get your SF Symphony record fix without buying physical media. In addition to the wealth of commercial recordings, Michael Tilson Thomas's tenure at the San Francisco Symphony is also documented in the in-house archives that have faithfully recorded each and every concert in crystal-clear digital sound. That ever-growing archive provides a priceless resource not only for archivists such as myself, but for the symphony musicians, guest conductors, and future historians who wish to hear the heritage of a great symphony orchestra in its totality. To offer just one performance out of that vast treasury, the first movement of the Shostakovich Ninth Symphony with concertmaster Alexander Baranchik's violin solo joining the symphony's superb woodwinds, live on Saturday night, March the 1st, 2008. Thank you. In 1927, Alfred Hertz led his 16-year-old San Francisco Symphony through Schubert's Rosamunde Entr'acte No. 3 for a Victor 78 RPM record. That long-vanished orchestra was promising, but yet regional, its rich tone captured fairly well by the technology of the day. Three years later, in November 2010, Michael Tilson Thomas led a now world-class San Francisco Symphony in Rosamunde Entr'acte No. 1, preserved for posterity in crystal-clear digital audio. Who knows what the next century has in store for the San Francisco Symphony? But one thing is certain. We will be blessed with even more recordings to treasure. On my next podcast, a look at the symphony on record with guest conductors at the helm, including figures as august as Leopold Stokowski, Charles Monch, Jean Martinon, and István Kertész.